Are you wondering what to do after being ghosted? Are you struggling because the person who ghosted you returned and you're unsure how to move forward? If so, this episode is for you. It's one of the first episodes that I've ever recorded, and it's also one of my most popular shows. It features the brilliant Dr. Natalie Jones. Enjoy. To Coping with Ghosting, the show that provides hope, healing, and understanding for anyone who has been ghosted. I'm your host, Greta, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Natalie Jones, psychotherapist. Her Oakland, California-based practice is called Lifetime Counseling and Consulting, and she is the creator of A Date with Darkness podcast. She is also a writer, consultant, and a speaker. Dr. Jones inspires people to love themselves, be empowered, and understand themselves and others. Specifically, she helps women of color heal from narcissistic abuse. I discovered Dr. Jones on Instagram, where she posts a treasure trove of healing wisdom. And if you don't already, I encourage you to follow her at Dr. Natalie Jones. Dr. Jones, I am honored to have you on the Coping with Ghosting podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be on your show. So thank you so much for having me and finding me on Instagram.
You have these amazing posts, and today I really just want to hold space for you to elaborate on your post about ghosting from January 2021. But before I dive in, I wonder what inspired you to share ways to approach being ghosted?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I feel like it's a culmination of things, right? It's a combination of my experiences about being ghosted. I've been ghosted before. You've been ghosted before. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's been coming up on TV and social media a lot. You know, my clients come to me with it, and people always wonder, you know, what did I do? You know, why do we not have closure? What happened? I don't understand. I'm incredibly hurt by this. And so it just happens to people on many different levels. And it's just, you know, in my work, personal life, my education, it's come up quite a bit. So, you know, that's kind of the inspiration behind the whole thing.
Thank you for doing it. I mean, I think it affects so many of us. So it's incredibly topical. So there's this post that you have called When You Have Been Ghosted, Remember, and it has different ways of coping with ghosting. Would you like to read some of the tips that you wrote?
Yeah. So the first bullet I put there is to reflect on the relationship. So, you know, that's just a reminder to kind of go back and look at what's happened over the entirety of the relationship when you've been ghosted. Usually you will find signs that you've been ghosted before on micro levels, right? There's been many signs or flags of where you've been ghosted, right? Mm-hmm. And also, number two is to remember that being ghosted is not about you, but more about what the other person has going on in their life or their inability to communicate. So that person has chosen not to communicate with you. It could be emotional immaturity. They just don't want to deal with it. They have their own stuff going on. They just don't know how to cope with their own feelings. So again, it's more about what they've got going on and not about you. And to reflect on previous relationship patterns, again, if you've been ghosted previously in your prior relationships. So if you have a pattern of being ghosted or picking or being with people who ghost you, and that comes in friendships, family, or whatnot, what have you, just sort of reflecting on that.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just was wondering, you know, what advice do you have for people who have been ghosted frequently?
I would say if you like with from other relationships, if it's from other relationships, I would say to take a step back and reflect on the type of people that you gravitate towards, mm-hmm. right? For some reason, you know, if you're finding a lot of similarities in these people, that could mean that there's people in your life that are emotionally immature, people that are inconsistent in mm-hmm. their relationships, mm-hmm. or they're not, there's just some sort of pattern in the relationship that you have with these people that you want to evaluate. So my first piece of advice would be to sort of take a step back and reflect. And a lot of times when we're in the thick of it, we can't reflect on our own.
Right.
So I would always advise someone to get an objective person to help you with that. Of course, I'm a therapist, so I'm definitely going to advocate for therapy in this arena. If you feel like for whatever reason you can't explore therapy right now, you know, definitely pick up some books and things, self-help books on like emotional unavailability, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, that kind of speak to similar concepts that'll at least mm-hmm. get you thinking about patterns and relationships.
That is such good advice. And I agree about the therapist thing. I'm a huge advocate for getting therapy and healing that way. And I wonder, so what are the signs of emotional immaturity or that they're unavailable for a relationship that people can look at early on?
Good question. Some of the signs that you could look for, again, is the inconsistency. Okay. A lot of times when we're in a relationship, what I see people doing is listening to what the other person is saying, but not what they're doing, right? And we do that for a variety of reasons. It's because we're focused on the goal of the relationship. That means that we just want to be in a relationship. We may want to get married. We may want to have a baby. We might want all these things. So we're focused on the end goal as opposed to what is that person actually doing in the relationship? Are their words matching up with their actions, or are they all talk and everything that they're doing is totally inconsistent? When I'm in need, is that person there for me in the way that I need them mm-hmm. to show up for me? Or are they only there when it's convenient for them? Are they always wanting something from me, but then when I need something from them, are they able to give in return? Is it an equal relationship where there's equal give and take, or is it just mostly one-sided, right? And then I think too, with people that are emotionally immature, some of the things that they do is they don't include you in aspects of their lives. So aspects of their lives that are important, spent with their inner circle or family, they don't allow you to get too close to them. And with those types of people, they're highly likely to ghost because they're always looking for a way out from you. And so that's why they don't allow you to get too close, because this isn't permanent for me. Those would be some indicators there. Again, if the person has like multiple partners, so if they've got multiple balls in the air, they've got, they're womanizing, or I guess manizing. I don't know what you call the equivalent, but if they're kind of, they don't really have any sort of serious commitments. And if they're expressing to you that they don't want to have a serious commitment in one breath, but then they change and turn it around, maybe they might say, oh yeah, I'm looking for something serious with you. And maybe they might be doing that under the guise of becoming sexually intimate quickly. So, you know, lots of different things, but typically speaking, when you are ghosted by someone, there's almost always a sign that you are going to be beforehand.
Wow. That is a lot to take in. And I hope listeners are reflecting on some of the red flags that they perhaps missed before they were ghosted. I certainly am right now. And, you know, I really appreciate that you say, you know, being ghosted may not be about you, but more about what the other person has going on in their life. Because years ago when I was ghosted, I blamed myself completely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard not to fall into that trap, right? Because we're compassionate people. Mm-hmm. People want relationships. People are designed for attachment. And so when someone leaves unexpectedly, you know, we internalize that. And when we don't have closure, we definitely internalize and blame ourselves or look for flaws within ourselves to be like, why did they go? Right. Like, I feel so rejected right now. I just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's incredibly hard. It just leaves you just so confused. So
absolutely.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been ghosted, it's essential to prioritize self-care, surround yourself with supportive people, and give yourself time to heal. And that's why I'm all about therapy. I love therapy because regardless of whether you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, or if you're just a human who lives in this world and is going through a hard time, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And this is an important mission because finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you to a professional therapist in as little as a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in my show notes. It's betterhelp.com/copingwithghosting. Clicking that link helps support my podcast, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp so you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. And because finding a therapist is a little like dating, if you don't really fit with that therapist, which is a common thing with therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost without stressing about insurance, who's in your network, or anything like that. After being ghosted, therapy helped me better understand my experiences and identify recurring relationship patterns, and it motivated me to prioritize personal development. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the show notes or visit betterhelp.com/copingwithghosting. That's betterhelp.com/copingwithghosting. And thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting my podcast.
Moving on to more points that you give here on what to remember to give. So yeah. If you want to continue reading it.
The next point is to give the person that who stopped communicating with you their space. Oftentimes when we've been ghosted, the first thing we want to do is we become aggressors or aggressives, and that we want to, like, they stop communicating with us, I'm going to try and dial them as many times, text them as many times, email them as many times, hunt them down on social media. You know, I got to figure out what's going on. So we overdo it to figure out what stopped the communication. And really, if someone has stopped communicating with us, let's just not overdo it and take a step back and allow them the time to come to us if they so choose to do so. You know, and it's also important to utilize other parts of your support system. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we're focused on one relationship, we become hyper-focused, as I mentioned in the previous bullet. So just remember to, like, you know, seek out support from other people. Therapy is great. Friends are great. Family is great. And seeking out support means, it doesn't necessarily mean telling anyone and everyone who will listen.
Right.
All of the problems about this relationship and talking about it to the depths of the earth. But just, you know, that could be something as simple as like watching a movie or going out to lunch and just having, you know, that time, or, you know, just having some girl time to go shopping. So it doesn't necessarily mean divulging all of your inner secrets about this relationship or that. So just remember that. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, oftentimes people who ghost us will often return. Mm-hmm. And people are kind of like, wow, you came back. And there's just like, oh my gosh, there's all these feelings that come up around that. It's important to speak to that. If you wish to reconnect with this person, it's important that you are not just sort of giving them a hall pass or freedom to just come back into your life. You need to communicate about what happened and have better boundaries there around communication and trust building.
Mm-hmm. That makes me question kind of what are a few ways to rebuild the trust after something so painful like that happens?
Well, again, I think it starts with having a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And a conversation is honest and it's humble. It's mm-hmm. not one in which you're willing to accept anything and everything that's told to you. And I think those are two different things, because sometimes what happens is that we're just so grateful that this person came back to us and that we feel accepted again. And so we're willing to overlook. But it's about having a conversation and coming to a place of understanding about why that person felt like they couldn't mm-hmm. communicate with us, mm-hmm. right? And the communication that we get from them should not look like a blame game to us. So they shouldn't be blaming us and saying, well, you're this and you're that and you're this. Okay, so why are you back here then? You know, so it doesn't really make much sense about where we're going. And again, each situation is different. So I say take that with the caveat of that. But just sort of talking about it and what the expectations would be mm-hmm. going forward. And also to not giving that person, not allowing them to have as much access to you as they did before, mm-hmm. but they have to earn that back. You know, they once again, you don't give them that pass. They have to really earn your trust back, and making sure that you both are clear about that, that like, you know, I'm choosing to reenter this, but it's with the understanding that you're working to earn my trust back in you, and you, we're working to rebuild our communication.
That is brilliant. I agree with it 100%. And it's just kind of a slow process of, it sounds like a slow process of feeling things out and seeing how you feel and how you feel with Absolutely. This person and not mm-hmm. diving back in too quickly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is a slow process. And I think that's what people... Yeah. fail to remember sometimes, that relationships are intentionally designed to be a slow building process to build trust, right? It's not the quick and easy push a button on Amazon and have it delivered at your door in 2 hours. You have to really work to earn that back.
Right. Yeah. And I think it can be done. Have you seen it being done? I'm not sure. I know you have confidentiality, but have you seen instances where somebody ghosted and they were able to have a relationship again?
There have been times where people have ghosted. It could be something came up in family, or, you know, there was just some things that came up, some urgent thing, and they just kind of cut everyone off, including that very near and dear friend or partner again. And usually that's usually early on in the relationship, but, or if they've had some significant incident of duress, but usually more often than not, it's a ladder where it's just like, or not the ladder, but it's usually a situation where that person is just on their way out the door of the relationship. Usually, that's the one that's more common, is like those people that do like those mini ghosting episodes, and then they do the permanent.
Each situation is so unique, right? And so it's just good to hear about the different things that have happened after people have been ghosted, and that mm-hmm. there can be hope.
Mm-hmm.
So another post that you did about ghosting was called Different Ways to Handle the Return of Someone Who Ghosted mm-hmm. You. So,
yeah. Yeah, our ghosts oftentimes do return, especially when we're in a romantic relationship, or if we're in a relationship where we were of benefit to somebody, mm-hmm. Which typically means they might have been using us in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like I spoke about before, one of those extraneous situations. So ways to handle someone who's ghosted you is definitely to block all forms of communication. You know, if they return, block them, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with that or deal with the emotions that come up around them actually even trying to reach out. Two, you can respond to their communication by setting a boundary and letting them know that you don't wish to communicate further. Like, so some people choose not to block. It might be family or something like that. Okay. And just saying, you know, I don't really wish to engage with you. You know, contact me if it's an emergency, but don't contact me for anything else. That type of stuff.
And what if it was a former lover, let's say, and they have now ghosted you and they came back and you want to set a communication boundary? What would that statement kind of look like?
So for a former lover, if that's not a door that you wish to reopen, mm-hmm. my suggestion is almost always to block, because okay. usually if you give them an inch, they may take a mile, right? Because mm-hmm. if they're coming back to you, they're coming back on their terms. And so they want something, right? And so a lot of times, if you give them a little bit of communication, even if it's to say, don't contact me again, a lot of people will use that is not like, okay, I respect you and I respect your boundaries, but more like, okay, let's start the negotiations now.
Got it.
Why not? Yeah, that's what can we do? I miss you. I love you. And I'm, you know, so they want to start doing all these other things to make us sort of rescind what we said. So, you know, if it's a lover, I always recommend that if that's not a relationship you wish to revisit, mm-hmm. why allow them the opportunity to contact you? Mm-hmm. You can ignore their communication and delete the messages without reading them. I mean, if you're not sure what you want to do, you know, you just know that you don't want to see it and you don't want to respond right now, you could do it that way. Again, that doesn't send a message to anyone but you. So they don't know that you've necessarily deleted that, but you know that. And so what that means is that potential that still leaves the door open for them to potentially contact you in the future. Mm-hmm. But you know, that'll give you some time to decide. If you decide to communicate, have a conversation about what happened, be clear about the expectations going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing I always remind people to do is to smile to yourself and acknowledge that you are a good person. And they know that they messed up when they left you.
And so that's why they
come back, you know, because you've got it going on. Because so often we've been conditioned to feel like we were nothing or that they didn't care about us or whatever. But we must have something good going on. They came back.
Mm-hmm. And so, I love that you bring in the self-gratitude aspect into this and just acknowledging that, you know, you are an incredible being and you are worthy of love, you know? And so this is like my favorite thing that you said, because it's just like, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Pat yourself on the back, because that is more like, you don't need anyone else's affirmation, but that confirms that, hey, you knew what you had when you left. But, you know, you can also reflect on that person's behavior. Again, that kind of goes back to just remember, you know, if you're on the fence, you know, about whether or not to open that door, remember to reflect back on some of those signs that I spoke about before, on whether and let that be the deciding factor on whether or not you want to engage, re-engage, because don't just kind of go for the feelings that kind of flood back, right? Those happy romantic feelings and, oh my God, I miss that person. Just give yourself a chance to sort of pause and really reflect on what that relationship was like before you choose to engage. And then again, try to remain objective. Avoid making assumptions based on false hope or developing potential. So what that means is, again, let's not romanticize, or maybe we can rekindle and things can go different. Maybe I can change them. Maybe there was something I did. So again, trying to take responsibility for that person's actions. You know, our mind really can go through the motions when we've been ghosted. And then when they return, a lot of those same emotions come flooding back, and maybe even more so intensely, because it's like, oh my gosh, they came back. So it's, it's just remember to pause and really just sort of remain objective. And if you do decide to respond, my advice to those who do respond to their ghosts, don't do it immediately. Put some space in between that, just to give yourself some time. You know, they took their time, so you can take yours.
Exactly. There is no rush, and you have to honor yourself and your feelings and really think about it. You know, the remain objective is so challenging, and especially when it comes to love. And I really liked what you said about, you know, really giving yourself the space to reflect on the times that weren't so good, because it is tempting to idealize this person. And
very much so.
I'd almost, if it were me, I'd probably write a pro and a con list. And I would see that the cons, especially the act of ghosting itself, really just outweigh the pros.
Pro and cons is great. That's great. But talking to friends, your friends usually will be a quick friends or family that were close to you and that person or knew about that situation. They'll be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Remember when they did X, Y, and Z? Like, what are you thinking? Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
that's the real,
there's usually almost, yeah, that's just, they'll go off in your head like a big fire alarm. Like, what are you thinking? But you know, yeah, pros and cons is great. Again, you know, talking about it with the therapist is great, but also just sort of not even just the pros and cons, but how you felt when they left.
Right.
You know, what was going on around that situation where you left and what it was like for you during that time when they left. If you spent hours crying on the floor and they're not dead or anything like that, or, you know, at a serious, you know, just indisposed, what are we doing? Like that, right. You know, you have to think like, do they really care about how you're feeling? And sometimes that's a hard truth for us to look at. And we're not willing to accept that because we just, you know, we want that acceptance or we don't want to feel rejected. And so we rush back into it. But it's like, I don't know. Let's pause on this for a second.
That's really powerful. I'm very much relating to this. Yes, that has been me on the floor crying. Yeah. So I'm so glad I didn't go to that two-timer ghost. So. Yeah.
Hear you. Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't mention this, but one of the things I think of as we're talking is ghosting is natural. That happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody at some point in their life is going to encounter a ghoster. Everyone doesn't always give their ghosts the same amount of weight, you know, to have power over them, but it happens to everybody. I think when we're in it, we feel rejected. And so we feel like, oh my God, I'm the one who's being rejected. So I feel alone. I feel so embarrassed. I feel so ashamed. But the reality of the situation is this happens to everybody. And if you're dealing with a person who's done it to you, chances are that they probably done it 10, 20, 30 more times to other people before they got to you.
Wow.
That's just how they move. Yeah.
Wow. That is so good to hear. That just makes me feel better. And I'm sure the listeners feel like, you know, it's not you, it's them. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to share about ghosting in general?
Ghosting is not new. You know, this is a new term for it. But it's not new. It's really something that's been going on since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And it can happen with anybody. You know, it can happen with your parents. Your parents can ghost you. Your children can ghost you. Your intimate partner can ghost you. Your supervisor at your job can ghost you. Friends can ghost you. So it could really happen with anybody. And you know, we might even do it, right? We might even go out on a date with somebody and then, well, he's okay. And then I might ghost him, you know, just because I don't want to have to deal with the follow-up, you know, and that's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. It's about not wanting to deal with the feelings, the conversations, the accountability, or the reactions of the follow-up. People just don't want to do it. And so it's not really a new phenomenon. it's being talked about more widely through shows like yours and platforms mm-hmm. and whatnot, but it's really not new and it does happen to everybody. And some are way more hurtful than others. Mm-hmm. But the last piece I will leave your listeners with is to remember not to let someone else's actions have complete power over you, because they don't deserve that.
Thank you. Thank you mm-hmm. so much for taking the time to speak with me and to really help people heal after they have been ghosted.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And one last thing. If you want to connect with me, visit copingwithghosting.com or at copingwithghosting on Instagram or Facebook, where you can download my free guide that has 5 ways to heal your heart and mind after somebody in your life vanishes. Also, a big thank you to Gustavo Ramos for allowing me to use his song Ghosted for this podcast. This empowering song is one I think anyone who has been ghosted will relate to, and it can be found on Spotify and iTunes. Enjoy!